It's 11:05. By 11:30, we'll be concluding our service, and hopefully I'll be riding in a fire truck. And I have had several offers to be taken away in police cars, but I'm afraid they might not bring me back. So I know those guys, and I don't trust them, to be honest with you. So we'll just take a few minutes here, and by 11:30 we'll be dismissing. Some of my members are looking at me in disbelief. They don't believe that's possible, but it's true. 25 short minutes. Let me have you go to Romans chapter number 13. We're going to spend a few minutes preaching the Bible. And I think we'll also spend a little time, because it fits right in with this passage of Scripture, of helping all of us here to have a deepening appreciation for those in our community that offer service to the whole. Romans chapter number 13, if you'll look at verse number 1. Now, I want you to think about this, because this portion of Scripture challenges us in this matter of being good citizens. And I think that if a person's going to claim to be a Christian, then he ought to be a good citizen. The Bible says, Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, talking about those that are in positions of power or authority in our community, he is the minister of God, or a servant, if you'll let me say that, of God to thee for good. But if thou do not do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. What that's saying there is that's why you pay tax, one of the reasons you pay taxes. For they are God's ministers to help support these servants, attending continually upon this very thing. And render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to take a little bit of time here to use the Bible to educate all of us. Because, Lord, I believe that the proper respect, the proper appreciation, the proper emotions are the result of a well-read, educated, informed mind. Lord, if we know what we ought to know and learn what we ought to learn, we'll probably feel what we ought to feel. And so I pray, Lord, that we'd take a moment and learn from the Scriptures. And we thank you again, Lord, for this special Sunday. I pray that it will do a work in the hearts of our young people. And I pray, Lord, that they would not forget this. They would get a chance afterwards to shake these men and ladies' hands that are civil servants. Lord, I pray that this will heighten their respect for them, will heighten, Lord, their appreciation for what they do. And Lord, above all, we want Jesus Christ to be lifted up. The Bible says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So we always want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in all we do here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's teach through this for a few minutes. Let me take the first 2 or 3 minutes and just teach through this. Young people, I want you to listen to me. We live in a society that has glorified rebellion and have made people that do wrong heroes. And too many people are making heroes out of these gangsters. Half of them ought to be in jail. Break the law, encouraging breaking the law. And I don't know where the rest of you are, but wherever the group is that's sitting around talking down authority, I'm not in that group. The group that wants to sit around and tell every bad story they can think of, I'm not in that group. You see, those folks that speak out of ignorance. Young people, the Bible says in verse number 1, let every soul, that means you, be subject unto the higher powers. And God has allowed our country to have some leaders, to have a government, to enact some laws. And as long as those laws do not contradict the Word of God and does not put us in a position where we have to choose to obey men rather than God, then we are to obey those laws. The Bible doesn't say to obey them if you like them. The Bible doesn't say to obey them if you agree with them. The Bible doesn't say to obey them if you understand them. The Bible says that we're supposed to be obedient to the laws of the land. And then it goes on to say this, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You know, God on high is the one that allows the people in authority to reach those positions of authority. There is then a warning in verse 2 that says this, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. So you can't rebel against authority and without rebelling against God. I'm talking about God-ordained authority. You can't rebel against it. Now, young man, that means you can't rebel against daddy without rebelling against God. You can't rebel against mama without rebelling against God, because those two folks are ordained of God to be over you while you're being reared. And you know what? We can't say, well, we're going to be a good Christian and we're going to follow God, but we're going to break the laws of the land or be disrespectful towards those that enforce the laws of the land. That simply does not line up with Scripture. If you're going to obey God and you're going to be in submission to God, then you need to be in submission to the powers that He's placed over us. Notice this. I like verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. You know what? I never worry too much about going to jail or getting arrested as long as I'm not breaking laws. You know, if you do the right thing, you don't have to live in fear of God-given authorities. But if you're going to do the wrong thing, then you know what? You ought to live in fear of what who's going to come knocking on your door or pulling you over on the side of the road. You ought to live in fear of that, you see. Wilt thou not then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good. Thou shalt have praise of the same. Which means, you know what? If you do the right thing and you're a good citizen, you obey the law and you pay your taxes and you show the proper respect towards those we're supposed to be respectful towards, you know what? You're not going to have any problems in life. Now, young people, listen to me. You ought to be a good citizen. You ought to be raised to be a good citizen. You shouldn't cause your community to take tax money and have to support you and pay for you and keep after you because you're always messing around out there breaking the law. I talked to a man yesterday on visitation. And went and visited his children and invited them to church. And you know what? When I left the home, he followed me out to the house, or out of the house to the car, and he stopped me. He said, "Preacher, I'm glad you came by today." He said, my whole life for the last 20 years has been made a mess because of meth. He said, "I've ruined my children over meth. I've ruined my marriage over meth. I've ruined my health over it." And he said, it's destroyed my life. And he said, "I appreciate what you're doing with the young people." He said, "You know what? I'd give anything in the world." He said, "I'm not the type of person that ought to be able to do this." But he said, "I'd give anything in the world to get a chance to tell the young people at your church, don't go that way. Don't go down that road." Young people, listen to me. There's all kinds of temptations out there. And there's all kinds of the wrong kind of element pulling you the wrong kind of way. But you know what? If you'll obey Romans chapter 13... and say, you know what, there's a law that's been passed in the land that these things are wrong and they're illegal, and I am going to obey the laws of the land. If you just make that decision, it would keep you out of trouble. It'd keep you on the right path. It'd keep you from getting tied up and messed up. Listen, do you want to have to follow a preacher out to his car 20 years from now and tell him how meth or drugs has ruined your marriage and your children and your life and your health and your future? 2 stints this man spent in prison. You know why? Because there's a law in the books. But he didn't want to obey the law in the books. He wanted to do his own thing, and he's paying the price for it right now. Are you listening to me? Bible says in verse 4, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou wilt do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." I hope you won't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Because I really believe that if you got to know me, you'd know that I'm a compassionate person. There's a lot of people that end up in a preacher's office, and a lot of people that have made a lot of mistakes in their life. And you know what? Praise God, they come and try to get some help. But one of the things I told a man recently, I said this. I said, you know what? If you want to get off drugs and you want help getting off drugs and you're through with that stuff, I'm the man to help you, because I can point you to the one who can help you, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said this, if you're playing a game with me, and behind the scenes you still want to use this stuff and manufacture this stuff and sell this stuff and distribute this stuff in the community, I said, friend, I hope they catch you, and I hope they arrest you, and I hope they lock you up. You know why? Because, listen, I love that man, but I also love the young people in this community. I love the young people in this room. Do you realize, look at this good crowd God's blessed us with today, but you realize that we have three other services going on right now? We have a primary church that's in session. We have a children's church that's in session. And Brother Reiser right now is preaching. And by the way, he's teaching the young people to have respect. He's teaching the same kind of things I'm teaching in here. You know, he's probably got, if we have had what we've had the last few weeks, he's probably got 75 or 80 kids out there in the junior church. That's just one of the services. Listen, I love these kids. This is a church that loves kids. And you know what? If you're going to do the right thing, then you know what? The Bible says you'll be okay. But if you're going to break the laws of the land, and especially if you're going to try to get others to ruin their life with you, then you know what? These men in uniform, that their job. I like what this says. By the way, go get them, Brother Johnny. Go get them, Randy. Because the Bible says that he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And you know what? We have a prison ministry here. J.R. Weddle goes every Friday and tries to help those that have broken the law and have ended up messing their lives up in prison, in jails. But the honest truth is, if they've done it, that's exactly where they belong. And I hope they learn a lesson from it. Now, young people, I'm giving you all this for a reason. Don't play the game. Don't listen to the dope heads. Don't listen to those that try to drag you away from the Lord and away from church and into the mess that society's produced out there. Don't listen to the ones that's rebelling against mommy and rebelling against daddy. Don't listen to the ones that laugh at the preacher and laugh at the Bible. Don't listen to those type of people, because they'll lead you down a path. And listen, if you'll just do right, that same person that you're so enamored with, that same person that's got your ear right now, listen, if you'll do right, and you'll separate from them, and you'll just choose the right path, in 10 years, go find them again and see where they're at. And you know what? You would have been in the same spot if you'd have followed them. So you've got to be very, very careful. And that's what the Bible's saying, and we've come here today to pay tribute. That's what it says in verse number 6. Render therefore to all their dues in verse number 7. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due. I want to read you some things. And again, this is going to educate. Some of you folks know this stuff, and some of you this is going to be brand new. I think most of you this is going to be brand new to. Listen to me. Whenever someone mentions the wall that exists in Washington, D.C., the wall, almost to a person, we would think of the most visited and well-known war memorial, the Vietnam War Memorial. However, if you were to leave the Vietnam Memorial and make a left-hand turn onto 6th Street and follow it up till you find F Street, then make a right onto F Street and drive a block and a half, you would see on your right-hand side a less visited but equally important memorial that contains not one wall of remembrance, but two. Located here is the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. It was authorized by an act of United States Congress and was dedicated 7 years later by President George H.W. Bush on October 15, 1991. It honors all of America's federal, state, and local peace officers. Inscribed on the memorial's blue-gray marble walls are the names of more than 17,000 men and women who have been killed in the line of duty, dating back to the first death in 1792. Bordering the memorial's beautifully landscaped park are two tree-lined pathways of remembrance, where the names of the fallen officers are engraved. Each of the pathway entrances are adorned with a group of powerful bronze statues of adult lions protecting their cubs. They symbolize the protective role of our law officers and convey the strength, courage, and valor that are the hallmarks of those who serve the law enforcement profession. Each adult bronze lion figure weighs approximately 2,500 pounds. Listen, the names of the fallen officers are sandblasted into marble imported from Canada. Both walls containing the names are 304 feet long. There were 12,561 names on the memorial when it was dedicated in 1991. New names are added in May, just prior to National Police Week each year. The walls are more than half filled. Facing the grim reality that more officers will be killed, memorial organizers left space for more names to be added. There is room for 42 lines on each panel, or a total of 29,233 names, if the current rate of death continues amongst our law enforcement people, the walls will be filled around the year 2050. There's another memorial that bears mentioning. It is located in Emmitsburg, Maryland, on the campus of the National Fire Academy, and was constructed in 1981. There you will find the National Fallen Firefighters Memorial. It was officially designated by Congress as the National Memorial to Career and Volunteer Fallen Firefighters in 1990 as a symbol of honor for those who carry on the tradition of service to their communities. The highlight of the memorial is a sculptured bronze Maltese cross. Throughout the centuries, the Maltese cross has been adopted as a symbol by groups who provide aid in times of distress. The cross rests atop a 7-foot stone pillar, denoting the importance of the landmark monument. An eternal flame burns at the base of the pillar, representing the spirit of the firefighter, past, present, and future. Plaques listing the names of firefighters killed in service to their community since 1981 encircle the plaza. When a firefighter dies on duty, local fire officials notify the USFA, and a notice of death is immediately posted on the memorial grounds, and the flags over the memorial are flown at half-mast in honor of the fallen firefighters. I wish you could see what I've got in front of me. I have two lists of names here in front of me. The first list of names is the list of law enforcement officers who were added to the Wall of Honor in Washington, D.C. on May 13, 2006. This was the last group that was added to the wall. Let me get to the end of this. By the way, it's 10 pages long. 10 pages long. See this? 467 officers. Now, not all of those were killed in 2005. Some of those were people who had not been honored in the past but had been researched and added and applied for, and they were put on there. But could I say this? 152 of these names, all the ones that I've marked in green, were killed in the line of duty, police officers, in 2005. I see Assistant Chief of Police. I see a patrolman. I see a corrections officer. I see a deputy sheriff. I see a corporal. I see a special agent. I see a lieutenant. I see a detective, a park ranger, special agent, police officer. I'm just picking out some of these. Patrol officer, detective, police officer, sergeant, detective. A senior agent, a deputy sheriff, a sergeant, a trooper, a detective, a commander, a police officer, a sergeant, narcotics investigator, a trooper, a corporal, police officer, patrolman. Are you getting this? Are you young people getting this? By the way, don't say the word cops around me. Amen. You say, well, even some of the policemen, they're not bothered by that. Well, I'm still bothered by it. Say, but Brother Jerry, there's even a show. You know what? You call them police officers. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen to me. Let me give you this. On average, one law enforcement officer is killed somewhere in America every 53 hours. The first known line of duty death occurred in 1792 when New York Deputy Sheriff Isaac Smith was shot and killed. Since then, over 17,500 officers have died while performing their duty. I've got another list in front of me here. This is, I'll tell you what, this gets to your heart. Pulled this off the website, the U.S. Fire Administration. 2006 fatality notices. This is the 2006 fatality notices. Remember what I said? When a firefighter falls in the line of duty, they notify where the memorial is. And then they lower the flags to half staff. This is the list of those that have been killed in the line of duty this year, just since January 2006. Firefighters. 2006. Including one from Staunton, Indiana. It's 2006. Real Jerry, why in the world would you take a Sunday morning and set aside and have a civil servant Sunday? Because we go forward in our life, in our hustle and bustle, and too many times we fail to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want our people, especially our young people, to understand that what we're doing here today is the right thing to do. And I want, for those of you that are here that serve in these capacities, I want to say this. For all the training, all the stress, all the sleepless nights, and because you serve in such a high-risk profession, there are some things you deserve to receive. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, you should receive appreciation. We've got a ministry called Operation Think of It, and we are training our people to, anytime they run into a military man or an ex-military man, to go over and shake their hand and thank them. I don't know about you, but I think this would be a good group to add to that listing. Yes, amen. They deserve our appreciation. It's the right thing to say thank you. Number two, you should be honored. There's some things you should receive. You should receive appreciation. You should receive honor. The Bible says you're ministers of God. We need to teach our children to respect these fine people. Parents, listen to your children. They say something derogatory about a policeman or a fireman or a paramedic. You know what? You ought to come down on that like that. You see, they ought to be honored. They ought to be honored. They ought to be respected by our young people. Now, we got these kids, and they're out in children's church, and they can't wait afterwards to go out and take a look at the vehicles and shake y'all's hands. And you know what? They're being primed for it right now, because we want to have a group of children here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that when they see you folks, they think, you know what? These are heroes. These are heroes. You should receive the prayers of God's people. You know, Mama taught me something when I was growing up. She'd say, whenever you see a fire truck go by or an ambulance, pray because somebody's in trouble. And I would always pray thinking somebody's house is on fire, or somebody's sick, or somebody's injured. And you know what? That's a wonderful habit to get into. But when I was researching this, all of a sudden it occurred to me. All these years I've been praying for the people who are going to get helped, but I haven't been praying for the people who are going to help them. Isn't that a great thought? So I'm going to change that, folks. And from now on, when I see a fire truck or an ambulance or a policeman going, I'm not only going to pray for whoever's in crisis, but I'm going to pray for those of you that are going to help them in crisis. These are the things you should receive. You should receive appreciation. You should receive honor. You should receive the prayers of God's people. And because you're in such a high-risk profession, let me say this. You should receive the gospel. You should receive the gospel. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I believe in this. I think the Bible teaches it, that death is by appointment. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. I really believe when we're born, there was a time God willed for us to be born. There's a time God's already appointed for us to die, and that is our lifespan. Now, somewhere in the middle of that timeline, somewhere in that timeline, in order to go to heaven, you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, all men, no matter what profession, should be sure that they're ready for this appointment. You see, death is appointed and death is sure. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. Good works, sacrifice, and service are noble things, but they will not earn a man's place in heaven. Some of you went with me down to Atterbury. No, it wasn't Atterbury. It was Crane. Brother Hal was with me. Some of you other men went with me, ladies. They honored the POWs and the MIAs here about a month ago, and we went down to attend that ceremony. Afterwards, they had a luncheon, and they had these ex-POWs get up, pass a microphone around, tell stories, give testimonies. That was one of the most fascinating hours I've ever spent in my life, just listening to these men. Listen to me, and I hope you don't think that, please take this right. But there was a gentleman, a World War II veteran, that had been a POW for some time, and he picked up a microphone and he said, I'm going to first of all tell you what I tell all the children when I go around and speak at the schools. Listen to this. He said this. He said, I tell them, don't worry about hell, and no veteran has to worry about hell because we've already spent our time in hell. All veterans are going to heaven. Now, let me say this. I honor and appreciate what that man did for our country, but what he just said just is not true. It's just not true. Because you see, God doesn't, one of these days, got a big scale in heaven where he's going to put our good deeds and our bad deeds, and if they weigh out, the door is going to open. Jesus said, I am the door. He went on to say this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. The one thing that all of us humans have in common is that we're sinners and we must be born again. The gospel is very simple. Jesus died for sinners. He rose again for sinners, and now he will save sinners. Unless we get to the point where we understand that we're a sinner lost without Christ and are willing to believe the gospel that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, and somewhere in that timeline of our life, if there's never been a time where we stopped what we were doing and realized Jesus did that for me and I need to accept him as my Savior. Here's a great question. Can you look back over the timeline of your life and say, I can remember a point in time where I was convicted of my sins, understood the gospel, and I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior? If you can look back and see that point in time in your memory, then you know what? You're saved. But if you look back and say, you know what? Well, I joined a church. Well, that's not what we're talking about. Well, I got baptized. That's not what I'm talking about. Did you ever get to the point where you knew you were a sinner, was convicted of that sin, understood Jesus was the Son of God, he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and under a conviction of sin, called upon Jesus and asked him to save you? If you can look back and you don't see that, oh, but I did this good thing and that good thing, not of works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. You see, and so the Bible's very plain about this. You must be born again. You know, if I'm going to go charging into a building that's on fire, I want to know for sure that if I don't come back out of that building, that I'm on my way to heaven. If I'm going to pull over a car with some crazy man in it, I want to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven if you've never been saved. By the way, if you don't do any of those two things, if I was a plumber, I'd want to make sure I was on my way to heaven. I'm serious. If I, no matter who I was, I wouldn't risk it. I'd want to know for sure that I'm saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to get up in front of this crowd and make these comments. Lord, we look at the list of names on these pieces of paper and we're humbled. We're humbled. So many people have given so much. And Lord, too many times they're forgotten, their sacrifice is forgotten. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to honor those that remain amongst us that do the same job that these men did and these ladies did who gave their life. May we support them and pray for them. May from time to time we just stop and shake their hand and look them in the eye and say, thank you. May we pray for them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, it would be true of every person, that they would be saved, Lord, that they would know you as personal Savior. And Lord, if not, that today would be the day that they'd be saved. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.